And she hikes that trail, and the book is about that. But it begins by giving the background of what leads to that. Cheryl grew up in a difficult home. When she was still a very small girl, her mother took the three children and left her very abusive husband. And they basically lived in poverty as the mother tried to make a go of it. Mother had a frequent series of boyfriends and finally married a man who was a construction worker, but a year into the marriage, he had a serious injury, broke his back, was no longer able to work, and the family slipped back into poverty. When Cheryl was in her early 20s, her mother was diagnosed with cancer and told that she had a year to live. In fact, she only lived for a few months. The one solid piece of Cheryl's life was now gone. Cheryl was married, but her life quickly began to spiral downward. She had a series of extramarital affairs. She began to abuse drugs. She divorces her husband and finds herself hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, trying to find her way again. It says from lost to found. It's not a book about a religious conversion. As far as I know, Cheryl is not a follower of Jesus. During the time when she was going through the divorce, she was having to fill out papers, and in the information that was being asked for, it inquired of what name she would go by following the divorce. And she realized that in that state where the divorce was being finalized, she didn't have to pick either her maiden name or her married name. She could pick any name she wanted. And she began to think up crazy things that she might use for her new name. And she thought that out over a period of weeks. There was one word that kept settling in her mind. And so she decided that her last name from now on would be Strayed. She would become Cheryl Strayed. It was not only a name, it was a two-word sentence. It was her autobiography. Cheryl Strayed. A little while ago, Dan was reading to us from Isaiah 52 and then into 53, and he ended with verse 6, which says this: "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." We all have gone astray. It's not just Cheryl Strayed. It's Sam Strayed. It's Paul Strayed. It's Dave Strayed. It's Joyce Strayed. It's Kathy Strayed. Put in your name. We all have strayed. Now, when you read that, I think from our perspective, this side of Calvary and this side of the gracious work of God in Christ, we look back on that and we say, well, that describes us before we came to know the Lord as our Savior. We all, like sheep, had gone astray. And it certainly does. But I think we need to admit that there is a danger for even those of us who are followers of Jesus, that it's all too easy for us to go astray. Remember that old hymn that says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." Yeah, that's our tendency. There are several things that the verse tells us about this straying that can all too easily occur in our life. And one of the things that it tells us is that this straying is willful. It's willful. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. So the way in which we go astray is sheep-like. It's sheepish, you could say. It's like a sheep who has gone astray. Well, you know, if you've read the Bible, you know there's a lot of times in the scripture when the Bible uses sheep because they're so much a part of the everyday life of people in both the Old Testament times, the New Testament times, and even yet today in that part of the world. So Jesus tells, for example, a story in Matthew 18 about a shepherd who had 100 sheep and one of them wandered off. One of them wandered off, and so he leaves the 99 in the safety of the sheepfold to go look for the one who has strayed. And so sheep stray sometimes just by wandering off. If you're a farmer and you have livestock, whether they're it's a dairy farm, or whether it's you're raising beef cattle, or whether you have horses, or whether you have goats, or whether you have sheep, or whatever you've got, sooner or later, if you're raising livestock, you're going to get a phone call from the neighbors saying, your cows are standing in my vegetable garden. Or, you know, or is that your horse I just saw trotting past my house? Or is your goat out again? I mean, that is just part of raising livestock. Eventually, they're going to find the weak place in the fence, or somebody's going to leave the gate open, and off they go, and now it's your job to chase them down and bring them back and get them back in the enclosure. But in the world in which the Bible is being written, livestock is not usually kept in an enclosure. It's usually under the care of a herdsman. In the case of sheep, a shepherd, a sheepherder, a shepherd. And so here's a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and one of them has wandered off, has strayed, and so he goes looking for it. I don't know how that would happen, but I envision something like this, that as the day goes on and the sheep are out there in the pasture and the shepherd is watching them, making sure that they're all safe, one of the sheep out along the edge of the flock is chewing on a clump of grass. And remember, this is a part of the world where you don't have lush green pastures, you just have a lot of rocks and dirt and only occasionally little clumps of grass. So I can imagine that this sheep is enjoying the day, eating a clump of grass, and as he's doing that, he sees out of the corner of his eye another clump over there. So he goes after that one without even bothering to raise his head. And as he's eating that one, he sees out of the corner of his eye another one a little further away. And so off he goes until finally, later in the day, he lifts his head up and realizes he's all alone. And he begins to bleat plaintively, hoping that the shepherd will hear him, wondering where the rest of the flock is, and with night coming on, he realizes his great danger. There's just this inattentiveness that has led him to wander off. Jesus tells another story in John 10, and he talks about sheep who are in the sheep pen or the sheep fold for the night, but now morning has come, and so the shepherds come to lead their sheep out. And they know their sheep by name, and their sheep know the voice of their particular shepherd. And Jesus says, you know, sheep won't follow another voice. In fact, they're afraid of it. They're just going to follow the voice of their shepherd. Now, the picture I usually have in mind of a shepherd is a shepherd with perhaps the help of a few dogs who's walking along behind this herd of sheep, trying to keep them all together, trying to move them in the right direction. But in the Bible, the world of the Bible, the shepherd is at the front of the herd, the front of the group, the front of the flock, and off he goes. I know it's not a herd, it's a flock. Off he goes, and the sheep who recognize the voice of their shepherd are falling into line behind him, and there they go. And so they're not going to be fooled by another shepherd. They're not going to be deceived. But look at the verse that's before us, Isaiah 53:6 here. These are not sheep that have wandered off because they've been inattentive or because they've mistaken the voice of the shepherd for somebody else. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. There is a willful moment when we decide that we are going to turn from the way that the shepherd is leading us to our own way. We know ourselves well enough to know how easily that happens. We have a good shepherd who's leading us. But there are times when we really don't want to go where he's leading us. And we know he's leading us in one direction, but we see a little detour. Maybe it's a detour of self-pity. We just want to feel sorry for ourselves for a while. That's not where the shepherd's leading us, but that's where we want to go. So we just turn to our own way. Maybe it's a detour of anger or of seeking pleasure or some destructive habit in our life. Whatever it is, there's just an endless number of detours that begin to appeal to us. And it doesn't happen accidentally. It doesn't happen just because we're not paying attention. It happens because there comes a day when we know the shepherd is leading us this way, but we're looking around saying, you know what? I'm going to turn to my own way today. And it's willful. Now the danger is heightened by the fact that our culture applauds this kind of individualism. We're going to live life on our own terms. And off we go, humming Frank Sinatra's, you know, I did it my way, as our theme song. There are some days when it just seems like following the shepherd is too hard or too costly or whatever reason we just decide today we're going to take a break. We're going to take a turn. We're going to go our own way. Straying is not only willful, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. One of the best known passages in all of God's word is Psalm 23. David, who had been a shepherd, here's what I envision. I envision David the shepherd. He's sitting there on the rock looking over the sheep that he's caring for. And he begins to think about his relationship with them and how dependent they are on him. And how he knows that as they are under his care, all the good things that he can do for them. And then he begins to imagine, you know, I have a shepherd. I have a God who cares for me. And so he begins to write or sing, begins to put these words down. The Lord is my shepherd. I won't be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And he goes on to write that beautiful 23rd Psalm that we love. The thing we need to remind ourselves of is the danger of being a shepherdless sheep. A sheep that's no longer following where the shepherd is going. But we've turned to our own way. We no longer know the shepherd's presence. We no longer enjoy the shepherd's protection. When night falls, the predators come out and we're vulnerable. We're on our own. We no longer know the shepherd's guidance. He knows where the pastures are green and where the water's still, and he'll lead us there. But when we stop following him, we no longer know the way. We don't know the shepherd's provision, the rich pasture land and thirst-quenching water. We try to satisfy those things somehow without him. We don't know his care. We don't know his comfort. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to be out there astray, having turned to your own way. You remember a few weeks ago when Jeff Singfile was preaching here, he was talking with us about the importance of being in a blessable condition. Just being able to be in a place where God can bless us, can give us the good gifts that he has for us. But when we're straying, we're no longer in those places. We're on our own. It's not that the shepherd has stopped caring for us or stopped loving us, but we've made a turn and we've stopped following him. Straying is willful and it's dangerous and it's sinful. Look at how that verse concludes. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And, or you could even say, therefore, because that's been true of us, the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. When we're straying, we're being sinful. And there's iniquity. Now, none of us use that word iniquity in everyday conversation. Tomorrow, when you're at work or with friends, the word iniquity is probably never going to be used in your everyday conversation. It's a great biblical word. It's a strong word for sin. And it's not just, you know, sin that's sort of maybe a poor attitude or some little failure in our life. This is a word that describes evil behavior. It describes the way we act sinfully, the things that we do that are immoral, that are breaking God's law. This is iniquity. That's being used to kind of tie it together here with this business of going astray. God's provision for my straying is the death of his sinless son. In fact, if you go, let me just remind you of the little of the context. And the verse ahead of this one, verse 5 says, for in the day, excuse me, in the wrong chapter, verse 5 says, but he was pierced for our transgression, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Later in that chapter, halfway through verse 11, Isaiah writes, for by his knowledge my righteous servant will justify many. He will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great. He will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. As those who are followers of Jesus Christ, it does us good. It's good for us to remind ourselves this morning that though we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, it is all too easy for us to, like sheep, go astray, to turn from following him, from obedience to him, to our own way. Cheryl strayed. She chose that as her identity. That's who I am. I'm Cheryl Strayed. Let me tell you, if you are a child of God, that is not your identity. Though you may have strayed, that is not your identity as a child of God. Your identity ought to be one who is faithful. Let that be your name. Faithful. Obedient. And this morning, if there needs to be a correction, if you look back and say, there was a moment when I turned to my own way, and I know there was a better day for me in my walk with the Lord, when I was really seriously walking in obedience to God, and I've I've gone astray. There is never a moment when the shepherd is not calling you back and is so, he rejoices when his sheep again hear his voice and follow. Would you bow with me in prayer? And while our heads are bowed right now, I'm going to ask the elders who are going to be serving communion if they would come and take their place here at the front. Lord, I'm so grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ, that the shepherd became the lamb, and that his blood was spilled for us, the Lamb of God who took upon himself the sin of the world. Lord Jesus, living, victorious Lord Jesus, you are the Lamb of God who took our sin, our iniquity, our trespasses, our rebellion. But Lord, we praise you, Lord Jesus, that you are this morning our good shepherd. You've given your life for the sheep. Oh, Lord, I pray this morning that we will be following you. We will be listening for your voice. I thank you that our identity is not that we've strayed. Father, I pray this morning that whatever we need to repent of and whatever we need to do to turn back, that here at your table we'll meet you and we'll do that. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.